This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hi everyone, it's Justine Toe talking with Simon Smart. Hey Simon.
Hi Justine.
Now today we're going to be talking about True Grit, a film that we've both seen and that has received a lot of Oscar attention lately. Now this of course is based on the novel by Charles Portis, but it was also famously made as a John Wayne film in 1969. So Simon, this is a Coen Brothers film and I know that you're quite a fan of these guys as well.
I am. They're great directors. They're famous for films like No Country for Old Men, Fargo, Brother, Where Art Thou, and a whole lot of others. These guys typically soak themselves in whatever the genre of the film it is, and they produce these really stylish, authentic films, and they've done this with this Western.
Fantastic. And so now, without giving too much away, why don't you tell us about what True Grit is actually about?
Yeah, well, in this film, the Coen brothers have teamed up again with Jeff Bridges. Bridges has worked with them before. He plays Rooster Cogburn.
Fantastic name.
It's a great name. He's a US Marshal who's really a sort of beer-swilling, hard-living man who's killed more men than he can even remember. He's hired by a 14-year-old, Matty Ross, to bring to justice the man who's killed her father.
Yeah, and she puts in an incredible performance.
She's fantastic, yeah.
But there's also Matt Damon, who plays the Texas Ranger, LaBeouf, and he joins the trek into the Indian Territory to pursue the guy who killed Maddie's father, the guy played by Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Tom Chaney is the evil character in this film.
So True Grit has all these ingredients of a classic Western, but it has some surprises, doesn't it?
It really does. It's this, you know, the West's being opened up by steam power, but it's still a really tough place. It's a violent, brutal kind of world of conquest, really, and survival. If you don't get caught by disease, some sort of violent death might be your end. It really is a tough environment. There's a terrible hanging scene right at the beginning that sort of sets the tone for this, where three men are hung in public with women and children and men.
Everyone's just watching.
Clapping and you know, this is a bit of entertainment. Gives you a bit of a feel for the type of place we're in.
So it's the kind of environment that really needs determination to survive.
True Grit, indeed.
Yes, absolutely. So Matty Ross and Rooster Cogburn, they're quite memorable characters, aren't they? I mean, do you think that this is in many senses a classic Western, but it does bring out some themes that are universal? There's, of course, the question of good and evil and the nature of the human condition. But there's also love and sacrifice and questions around commitment and honesty and that sort of thing. But Simon, you think that justice is a key part of this story, don't you?
In the world of True Grit, it's really an Old Testament type of justice, an eye for an eye. Certainly that's the case for Cogburn and really for Matty Ross as well. She's got no doubt about where she thinks Tom Chaney needs to end up, either on the end of a rope or being killed, you know, getting him there. So it's a classic story where we get this terrible evil at the beginning, and as the audience we're sort of longing for justice and we're sort of excited by the prospect that it's going to be delivered. You don't get the feeling, Justine, that there are many people in the audience who are looking for, you know, Chaney to go to some form of restorative justice or community service.
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially because Matty Ross is just such a great character, we really want to see her justice served in a way. So I guess that films like this, True Grit, really taps into our desire to see justice done. But it also probably acknowledges as well that this justice that we long for isn't always achieved.
We do. We know it's going to happen in the films, but in real life, we know that innocent people sometimes get convicted, guilty people get off, people get away with terrible mistreatment of others. Sometimes that happens on a large scale. Companies get away with poisoning people's land and being responsible for terrible sort of injustices. So I guess it looks at our hopes to achieve justice and our knowledge really deep down that it's only ever partial and almost always imperfect.
Now, the film invites spiritual reflection, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, it opens, the opening line as it comes up on the background is a quote from Proverbs 28, "The wicked flee when none pursueth." You know, it's immediately posing these questions of good and evil and guilt and conscience, that sort of thing. You might remember in the opening scene as the camera pulls back from this dead man lying in front of the house, the voiceover, which is of the girl, is saying this. She says, "No doubt Chaney fancied himself scot-free, but he was wrong. You must pay for everything in this world one way or another. There is nothing free except the grace of God."
It makes the point quite emphatically, doesn't it?
It really does. And of course, Christian faith endorses this passion for justice that we have. Every human being knows this longing for things to be put right. Jesus was passionately engaged with the world. He celebrated the good things, but we know that he sorrowed for the world and the way it was, the world of violence and injustice and tragedy. And of course, ultimately, the claim of Christianity is that it's Jesus who took the pain, took this pain of injustice, of a life that we all feel, and he nailed it to the cross. And if that's true, if it is true that Jesus shares this passion for justice, and that through him the means of effecting this is put into place, it does offer us a picture of enormous hope that I know lots of people will cling to.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.